Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Friday, July 14. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, it's the world of AUM, Assets Under Management. Let me introduce you to the world of AUM. It's a world that exists only in the financial sector, and unless you happen to be employed in that particular part of reality, you'll likely find what I'm about to tell you is a little strange, to say the least. AUM is an acronym for Assets Under Management, and today we will hear from five of the most significant residents of this very exclusive world. Those five institutions, in order of significance, are State Street Bank, Citigroup, Wells Fargo Bank, JP Morgan Chase, and BlackRock Incorporated. Now, our metric that we're using to measure these financial institutions is assets under management. Of all major AUM members, only the Bank of America is missing from this group. They always report their earnings a day after the rest for some reason that's been lost in time. Now, you'll notice that four of these AUM members are commercial banks: State Street, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan Chase. The odd man out is BlackRock, technically a money manager, not a bank at all. And therein lies much of the distinction. BlackRock has one basic function: to manage various portfolios within the constraints of their prospectus. It can perform ancillary services such as check writing and debit cards, but at its heart and soul, it is simply a portfolio manager. That's in no way to diminish the scope and reach of this premier member of the world of AUM. When it comes to assets they manage, there is no one who matches them. In the year-end 2021, BlackRock had gathered $10 trillion under their roof, and although the pandemic knocked that number down, they still hold more than $9 trillion, a tidy sum by anyone's calculation. So when BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, or any of the other portfolio managers at BlackRock, call up a company they invest in, they're going to get that company's president's undivided attention. And it's that realization that has many, both on and off Wall Street, more than a little concerned. Briefly put, BlackRock has influence. $9 trillion worth of influence, and they're not afraid to exercise it. This is leading to a very interesting situation for BlackRock. Of all the AUM members, BlackRock has the poorest reputation among investors. Increasingly, many are becoming wary of BlackRock's public stance on hot-button social issues. BlackRock is one of the most prominent proponents of strict environmental constraints among the companies it invests in. It's also a major advocate for the policy known as Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance, or ESG. It is a program of social advocacy that is revolutionary within the American free enterprise system and has more than a few traditional free market capitalists concerned. On the other side of the world of AUM are the commercial banks. Now, the difference between the money manager BlackRock and the commercial banks is stark. While BlackRock manages twice the assets of any of the banks, even the largest of the banks, JP Morgan Chase, has less than half the assets under management than does BlackRock. But BlackRock operates under razor-thin margins. Their total operating margin is far less than just 1%. The banks, on the other hand, would likely turn up their nose at that kind of income. Banks make profits six ways from Sunday and literally have their customers coming and going. For years now, banks have focused on fee income, a steady stream of cash that seemingly never goes away. The list of bank fees are endless, and you probably know them better than I. But there are checking fees, credit card fees, loan fees, inactive account fees, and the list goes on and on. Fees give banks a sense of security, the realization that no matter what, the bank will generate income. This is the reason why JP Morgan Chase is worth four times more than BlackRock. In the end, it's not just assets under management, it's also income. And J.P. Morgan blows BlackRock away in terms of income. Now today, each of those members of the world of AUM will present their quarterly results. The final member, Bank of America, will report its results on Monday. However, it's not an entirely favorable environment for any of these firms. With higher interest rates, the growing threat of recession, and a stock market that's not setting the world on fire, let me suggest a couple of key indicators for both sides of this world of AUM. Now, the most significant concern for the commercial banks will be loan losses. These new higher interest rates translate into higher monthly payments for both commercial and retail clients. Inevitably, in times of rising rates, some customers simply cannot make their payment. For the banks, these customers represent a potential loss if ultimately they fail. The loan is written off and added to the loan loss category on the bank's income statement. Recently, the bank loan losses have been rising. Nothing to be overly concerned about currently, but a major indicator to watch today. BlackRock, on the other hand, does not make loans. No loan loss reserves for BlackRock. What BlackRock does need to be concerned about are its asset levels. Remember, BlackRock is a fairly one-dimensional company. Investment management fees are its bread and butter. Each dollar that walks out the door directly translates into lost income. That's why BlackRock's reputation is so important. If enough investors grow weary of BlackRock's pushing social issues and switch to another fund company, and there's plenty out there, it could mean real trouble for Larry Fink's company. Additionally, BlackRock stands under the shadow of any potential bear market, a condition that's always present, but again a possible reason for investors to walk away. So there you have it. Five members of the world of AUM, all reporting their quarterly results early this morning, before the market opens. I'll be catching those earnings from my perch at valueside.com. Come join me. And that's ValueSide for this Friday, July 14. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.